Gotta go back to the others now. Thanks for the meal, it was good. And thanks as well for showing me the toys and stuff. It was real hot pipe, that two-wheeler.
I mean no harm, boy. Not to you. To the two beautiful ladies who guard you. Not to your father and his friends.
I know.
But I tell you this, Dean. I will have my way. By all the gods, I will.
Never give up the Matchless. My dear father's last words to me before he left for his final sad journey across the dark river. Never give up the Matchless, my daughter.
But you have no choice, my pretty maiden. No choice at all.
There is always a... Oh, fuck it, Diego.
Want a prompt, my dear?
Want something to get rid of this fucking headache.
Perhaps it's the stuffiness of this room.
No, get them a lot. Like someone's got their thumb stuck behind my eyes, trying to push them out of their sockets.
Ryan lay on the bed, watching the rehearsal, with JB perched on the sofa on the other side of the bedroom. The play called The Revenge didn't seem to have very much shape to it. So far it was Ellie and Diego strutting and declaiming, while Doc and Michael shared a crumpled and much rewritten script. Knuckles was content to squat quietly in the corner, occasionally allowing the tip of his forefinger to caress the livid scar on his left cheek. Ryan had reported back to the others after his morning's viewing of the old film and his meeting with the Baron. JB had been very interested in the description of the four men and a woman who were their targets.
You heard of any of them?
Still not sure. I'd maybe need to see them, Ryan. But if I'm right, then seeing them could be the worst thing. Finish us all off.
Could you possibly keep the noise down? You're preventing the artists from readying a brilliant and memorable performance for tomorrow night. Then it will be wonderful. We will all be wonderful.
They broke for lunch, served in the big room by Rosie Owen. Her puffy face, heavily made up, was a mask of curiosity.
You outlanders gonna put on this show in the Baron's place?
On the morrow.
Lots of folks real interested.
Like who?
Sidler's Five Killers. A couple of them been around this morning.
What did you tell them?
Said your business was your business. Did I do right, mister?
Yeah. Bitch would sell out her baby daughter if the price was right.
To Ryan's amazement, by the time the sun was setting over the gray expanse of snow-wiped mountains all around Yuma, The Revenge was beginning to take a real sort of shape. Diego Capistrano was skilled enough to know that amateurs like Doc and Michael couldn't possibly cope with long speeches, so he and Ellie took the burden of the business.
So you think that my character should stand up to the evil devil that seeks to steal my inheritance? And you and your two sons will help me with a plan to defeat him and his gang?
Yes. This is putting words in someone else's mouth with a real vengeance, my dear Ellie. I believe that the entire 60 minutes of drama involves me in little more than a dozen brief utterances.
Never mind, Doc. Maybe I can make it up to you.
Oh, I'm not complaining, dearest lady. The less this poor, befuddled old pate has to hold, the better for all of us.
The traitor used to have a system of rules, though none of them were carved in marble. In fact, none of them were written down at all. But most of the crews of the War Wags knew them. One related to frontier pest holes like Yuma.
Get in slow and careful. Get out quick and careful. And while you're there, keep quiet and careful.
It was claustrophobic, all being together in the boarding house. The sky had cleared in the afternoon, and the ville looked almost tempting. Capistrano was keen that the rehearsal should carry on through, and Ryan was content that none of them should leave the place. In the evening, it began to snow again, dusting the streets and roofs. Everyone took a break while a supper of mutton stew was served. Afterward, Ryan decided to risk a walk around the ville.
You coming, JB?
No.
Anyone else?
How about me? That all right, Diego?
Why not? You've done well this afternoon, and you know the play. Yes, go and have a breath or two of what passes for fresh air in this stinking burg. Be back in an hour. Before we all retire to our beds, I want to work on the scene where the wretched villains are lured into the trap.
How's that done with just the five of us?
audience participation is the name we professionals use. How about you, my dearie?
I beg your pardon?
Well, that's what I say to the Cedars, what we call the audience. I tempt them up on stage, just 5 or 6 to play the villain's men. All they have to do is stand around and look mean, magnificent, and very moody.
And then?
And then, out the back door when the plot says they get taken prisoner. They really go around the front and into the theater in plenty of time for the rude ending with me, Doc, and Mickey here.
There is a rear exit to the multiplex, is there, Ryan? Ryan?
Sorry, Diego. I was miles away.
Thinking about Christy, Dean, and Mildred?
No, a rear exit from the vid house. Is that what you asked me?
Indeed.
I think so. There look like ways off the stage on both sides. Figures there must be a way out the back of the building. I'll check it out.
But Ryan was still not entirely with them. The melodramatic climax to the play had given Ryan the germ of a plan for capturing the killers without there being too much risk of a direct confrontation with Seidler's Sekhmen. Knuckles was huddled inside a thick blue and green plaid trench coat, which concealed the tilted hump of his shoulder. He seemed delighted to be out with Ryan, scuttling along at his side, a short hafted tomahawk tucked into a sheath on his left hip.
Real cold snow.
Yeah. Gonna get a lot colder as winter closes in.
Why are you not in the play? You and Mr. Dix. I've got a good feeling to play.
You've been with Capistrano and Ellie for very long, Knuckles?
Sure. Since I was little. Man in Darks had me. Wanted to cut me and change my face for a freakery. Capistrano won me off him at 5-card draw. Aces and eights.
There was a wicked wind slicing through the pass to the north of Yuma, carrying shards of ice in its teeth. More than enough to sweep the alleys and streets of the ville bare of life. There wasn't even a dog to be seen.
Go and look round back the place. See there's a way out for the end of the play?
Sure, this way. Corner of Manson and Daly. Not far.
Ryan lifted his hands and blew into them, feeling the cold seeping into his joints, wondering for a moment how things were back in Vista. This was the night of the third day. The first performance was the night of the fourth day. Allow 2 days to get back again. That only left them
4 days.
What is, Ryan?
Nothing. There's the place where Wizard Seidler hangs out.
The young man drew back into the shadows, peering at the multiplex. The scar that distorted Knuckles' left eye was illuminated by a red lamp fixed to the wall just above his head.
I don't like the look of that place, Ryan. Could be I'll go back to rehearse.
What's wrong, Knuckles?
I be seeing darkness, Ryan.
Are you a doomy?
No, just sort of feel the place is bad.
You'd help me if you came along. Watch my back in case some bastards try and cold cock me in the alley there.
I'll be waiting out here for you.
There was no point in trying to force Knuckles to accompany him around the rear of the building. It'd be much worse than doing it alone.
Sure. Just wait here. Or would you rather go on back to the others? I don't mind.
I'll stay here, Ryan.
The usual gang of Sekhmen were gathered around the front of the multi-screen cinema, but they were far too busy watching a fight between two drunken gaudy sluts on the far side of the street, in front of a bar called the Black Raven. Nobody took any notice of a well-built man with a single, pale blue eye as he picked his way over a pile of broken bottles into the short, shadowed passage that ran along the back of the multiplex. Ryan saw a single small window on the second story, its glass shattered and repaired with a piece of water-stained veneer. It was far too high to reach, and would only offer entry to someone as slim and agile as Dean. It was worthless for Ryan's purposes. He set that thought aside and walked farther into the pitch darkness. His feet slipped on what might have been mud or slush or shit, and he nearly stumbled, steadying himself with a hand against the concrete wall of Seidler's HQ. There was something protruding from the ice-slick stone, a little above head height, a broken sign. There was a momentary rift in the oppressive layer of leaden cloud, giving just enough light for Ryan to read the lettering. What remained of it, G-E-N-C-Y, and below, the single word, it.
Emergency exit.
It was a double door, held closed by a rusting chain and a battered padlock. Ryan guessed that nobody in Yuma was going to be triple stoop enough to try to break into the back entrance of the Baron's own personal fortress. From what Diego Capistrano had said, this could be fine for the climax of their play. There had to be a way off the stage into this alley. If it was tidied up a little, there would be room to drive a horse wagon along it.
Yeah.
Ryan's acute hearing was numbed by the cold, and the whispering of the blue north winds. The first warning he had of the attack was when something drove into him brutally hard, just above the kidneys, knocking him gasping to his knees. Even before he hit the